And today I'm delighted that we are joined by Michelle Goodall.
I got really hooked on these very early communities, and actually the internet was built upon communities.
You've recently made the jump from working at Guild to becoming an independent consultant.
It's one thing that I really thrive upon is getting sort of under the skin of an organisation and actually not just looking at things with a platform as the answer, but what can we do as an organisation to function better, perform better.
In September, we launched this, the Digital Community Leaders Report. Michelle, you were involved as one of our expert contributors. You were also on one of the panels at the launch event.
People like me have lots and lots of conversations. We have access to lots of, obviously, client data and customer data, but actually having data about the industry is really important as well.
I also feel like cost shows value and worth. We know that if we run a free event, we'll probably have half the amount of people turn up. If we run a ticketed event where they've paid, say, £10 for a ticket, we'll have 70% of people turn up. If the ticket costs more than £50, nearly every person will turn up.
Yeah, absolutely that. Just the event and free analogy, free reports analogy, all of those things. This is very, very valuable. You know, I can see why you guys have done it as well. It really helps the industry.
Michelle, do you want to say hello? Hello and welcome to the Digital Community Leaders Podcast, where we chat with community managers, champions and founders about their experience leading and supporting digital communities. My name is Pete Heslop and I lead the team here at Steadfast Collective, and we exist to craft digital applications that bring people together. We created the Digital Community Leaders Podcast to be a bite-sized look into what it takes to start, grow and scale digital communities. Today we are joined by Michelle Goodall, a community consultant focusing on community strategy, marketing and a communications leader focused on community building, community-led growth, and community-based marketing. There's a lot of communities in there. A recognized leading specialist, speaker, trainer, and lecturer with 25 years experience in a mix of consulting, agency, and in-house role. Co-author of the Community-Based Marketing Best Practice Guide and the brains behind the periodic table of community strategy, Michelle has also lectured in community strategy at Manchester Metropolitan University. Michelle has worked with clients in multiple sectors, industries, and countries, building thriving communities and networks that deliver results for some of the most incredible brands and businesses, including Direct Line, BBC, and many more. Michelle, can you please say hello?
Hello, Pete. And sorry, that was a bit of a mouthful, wasn't it? That's 25 years experience, and it's quite hard to distill into something that's pithy, to be honest with you.
No, it is so good to have you here. So you mentioned there 25 years experience. What made you get into community in the first point?
So the history lesson, actually, the sort of the dawn of the internet, well, that was in the 1970s. But when I first got into this thing, that it actually didn't really even have a name. I was really lucky to work in a company that was a kind of a technology company, a very early technology company in London. And they had Linux computers and they introduced me to email. And then they told me about this thing where you could go onto the World Wide Web and actually start to look for things. And a part of this early nascent web were things like bulletin boards, you know, places and spaces where you could create an entity, create, you know, a mythology about who you were. You didn't have to bring your, you know, real self to these places. And I got really hooked on these very early communities. And actually, the internet was built upon communities. You know, that was one of the really sort of key, I guess, elements of this nascent kind of beast that, you know, now is what it is today. So I would say that I've always been into communities, and you know, long before that, I've done podcasts about sort of my history and how I grew up. You know, my parents used to have pubs, so we were, you know, they talk about sort of church and pubs being, you know, the ultimate community spaces. We were the kind of the hosts of a local community as well. So I think I've always been drawn to places and spaces where people can come together and do good things together, or find a sense of purpose, or, you know, whatever people need to do within communities. So very early sort of web entities that were community spaces, through to sort of, you know, how I grew up, really.
And you've recently made the jump from working at Guild to becoming an independent consultant. Tell us a little bit about what you're up to day to day now.
I'm building my business, building my pipeline, defining what my services and my products are. It's actually going back to what I did before I went in-house. So it's not a really a big surprise to many people. I was definitely missing the advisory side of things. One thing that I really thrive upon is getting sort of under the skin of an organization and actually not just looking at things with a sort of a platform as the answer, but, you know, what can we do as an organization to function better, perform better? How can we understand our different audiences and segments and publics and stakeholders? And that includes, you know, internal teams and talent as well. So that's what I'm doing at the moment. I am having lots of conversations. I'm drinking lots of coffee. I'm having lots of lovely lunches. And hopefully we'll be working on some quite meaty projects, so across different industries and sectors. So I'm speaking to clients in things like the clean tech space, nonprofits, also SaaS technology scale-up organizations, all the way through to, you know, government departments that I've worked with, you know, many years before, arts, culture, sport. I've worked across all different sectors. So I have clients that I, you know, sort of sadly had to say goodbye to that I'm now able to go back to and have quite meaningful conversations about how they approach community within their organization. So I'm really busy, and that's lovely. I'm also hanging around with a number of other community professionals and also marketers as well. And I think, you know, I definitely do straddle those two areas, and you'll probably see that in, you know, my answers to your questions, that I think I will always look at things with a marketing and a communications lens when it comes to community. Yeah. But equally, flip it around, I always look at community, you know, or marketing and communications, thinking about how communities can power those as well.
Do you think it's your kind of marketing communications background, which means that when you're talking about community, it's so commercially driven?
Maybe, but also maybe it's working in commercial organizations and working for commercial organizations as well.
Sure.
You know, the reality is times are hard. Okay. Right. You know that times are hard. If you look at the tech space, the layoffs is just, you know, ridiculous. How many people, you know, have been made redundant or laid off, you know, this year and also the year before as well. And, you know, our friends across the pond in community specialists, that was a big, you know, kind of, I guess, bellwether in the industry, that so many community professionals had been laid off as well, which was, you know, just pretty dreadful. So I think maybe the answer is yes, but also just a real attunement to actually the reality of business, that, you know, community is lovely, but unless you can show and prove that it has a market impact on meaningful business metrics, whatever they are, whether they're efficiencies or whether they are profitability, or if you're a nonprofit, you know, achieving your mission, you know, speedily and readily, then, you know, I just think it's really hard in any business or any organization to, you know, kind of float things that don't help an organization achieve something. So maybe I'm a bit more attuned to it, but I think, you know, any senior kind of community practitioner really does need to understand how business works. And I think, you know, speaking to a number of community professionals, they do. They don't always necessarily get a seat at the table, but then, you know, a lot of marketers don't get a seat at the table. A lot of communications professionals don't get a seat at the table. Mm. So, yeah, maybe it is just this historic kind of, I guess, specialism, but also, you know, a real understanding of the world of business and you know, commerciality as well.
So in September, we launched the Digital Community Leaders Report, a 6-month project to survey and better understand the community profession. The report is available at communityleadersurvey.com. You can download your free copy, or you can buy a beautiful printed copy. And Michelle, you were involved as one of our expert contributors. You were also on one of the panels at the launch event. So a massive thank you for being involved in that. It really was the kind of expert contributions, which I think really make the report stand out, because the depth and breadth of experience that those folk have brought is vast.
Yeah, there's a lot of expertise that went into this, and actually it's really lovely. You know, also I would say thank you for giving us some data as well and data points, because, you know, people like me have lots and lots of conversations. We have access to lots of, obviously, client data and customer data, but actually having data about the industry is really important as well. So thanks for all of the hard work that goes into this. And I know just how difficult it is to pull these things together. So well done to the team.
No, I appreciate that. So you're going to share with us today some key thoughts, some key kind of takeaways you have from the report. So we can jump straight in with kind of what's your first takeaway from the report?
It's a weighty tome, but there's a lot of very, very good stuff in here. And, you know, we could have a podcast for an hour and a half about this, but I'm going to pull out, I think, what my key outtakes are. And the first one is on page 110, which is marketers who embrace community will win. You know, I would absolutely support this and also say that we need to think about flipping this as well. So if you come from a community background and if community is your thing and you wouldn't, you know, kind of classify yourself as a marketer, then I would say now is the time to really deeply understand what marketing actually is and what it isn't as well. I would say community professionals who embrace marketing shall win as well. And it leads on to kind of my second thought about the community, but, you know, about the report. But, you know, I think there is a misunderstanding about what marketing actually is amongst many people in the community profession. They believe that marketing is all about growth, that marketing is extractive. You know, it's all of these things. I would say there are lots of marketers out there who actually, you know, really believe in sustainable growth. They believe in collaboration. They believe in education around the organization as well. And actually, I would say increasingly community and marketing are, you know, becoming one. And that will really, I think, irritate a few people. And I'm really sorry about that. But again, that's for me is a reality check. And I think it's also borne out by some of the data in the report that talks about reporting lines as well. So, yeah, for me, thought one is marketers who embrace community should win 100%. And what I'm trying to do is to create training and I guess a flag for the industry or the sector to help marketers actually understand what we mean when we say community and community strategy and community-led growth and community-based marketing. But also I'm hoping that I can, you know, work with community professionals to help them understand, actually, this is the reality of the day-to-day for a marketer as well. So I think it's you know, that's something that I'm hoping to do, to be able to kind of show both sides, and to sort of, you know, help both of those professions as well.
It feels like they're all just part of the same puzzle. So there's kind of that saying, which everybody's in sales, whether you're the one picking up the telephone, answering somebody's support query, or whether you're, you know, sat round the C-suite table, everybody is in sales. And it kind of feels like community and marketing are just part of those puzzles, right? And community is just one piece of the ultimately most likely kind of sales puzzle. And it is definitely more of a longer term strategy than your kind of short term marketing campaigns, but it's just another element. And it, for me, what I see as part of this is marketing is often campaign driven, and kind of does have strategy, but is definitely campaign driven, where community is that underpinning of how do we move folk from our marketing kind of funnels to from being customers to being really advocates who are going to keep coming back time and time again, even if they're not being marketed to, because they're so invested in the community that actually they don't need a campaign to draw them back in.
Yeah. Well, I would say that's a fundamental misunderstanding of actually what marketing is. So marketing, essentially, if you think about... And you know, I will challenge you on this because, you know, good marketers... Essentially, if you look at the Chartered Institute of Marketing and you look at the definition of marketing, I'm not going to parrot it off because I haven't got it here in front of me, but basically it says that it is the anticipation and the identification of what your audiences need, want, and value, and then meeting those needs profitably or efficiently if you're in nonprofits as well. So it's not just, and again, this is a misunderstanding. Marketing isn't just about campaigns, performance marketing, etc. Actually, good marketers and senior marketers try and bring their customers into the business and then create products and services that actually meet those needs, but do it in order to be able to create growth within an organization. So, you know, again, I'm not saying that the marketing industry has got it wrong. I just think that, you know, a lot of people who work in community have probably been exposed to, we've got to do this, we've got to hit this target, we've got to do this campaign. But actually, good marketing and good marketing leadership, you know, you are thinking about bringing your consumers, your audiences into the organization to really deeply understand their wants and their needs and how things change over time and the differences between generations and demographics and all of these things in order to adapt your pricing, your promotion, your products, your all of these things to actually meet those efficiently and effectively and to keep, you know, the C-suite happy and the board happy as well and your investors. So, you know, campaigns is only one element of marketing. Influencer marketing is only one element of marketing. SEO, you know, brand, I align brand and brand development and that long-term approach to building a value kind of moat within your organization to community. So I think that's where it does definitely align. You know, if you're going to think about communities with a campaign hat on as a marketer, then you've got it wrong. You know, you are developing something that will take months and even years to really deliver and drive value back to your organization. But you wouldn't just stop building a brand or, you know, diversifying your brands or you know, whatever as a marketer. So, yeah, I this is my point. I genuinely think that community professionals don't really understand marketing. And marketers don't really understand community. So, you know, I think that's quite a nice mission for me to have to, you know, bring both sides together and to allow people to have expertise and you know, to own certain things, but to work together in order to be able to help the organization achieve what it needs to.
And that is something, and on that kind of, you mentioned their definitions. I think in community world, that's something we, especially in the UK, we have been missing that kind of clear definition of what we mean by community. We're not talking about the scouts necessarily. We're talking about, you know, something. And that definition does vary from community manager, from community professional to community professional. And I think there isn't an agreed kind of language for what we're actually talking about.
Yeah. And we were talking about this yesterday at the Community Pros of London, you know, kind of co-working day. And actually, I think also that's kind of okay as well. You know, if a network to you means community, then, you know, that's fine. I think, you know, certainly from a vendor perspective, when I was at Guild, we really wanted people to really deeply understand that community meant, you know, a place and a space where, you know, people would convene, hopefully online in a digital platform, but, you know, or offline in a, you know, kind of a physical realm as well. But actually, you know, communities can be networks and, you know, networks can achieve more in some instances than a community as well. So I don't know. I mean, I there's part of me that does like to define these things, and you'll see, you know, my blog will go live shortly and there's lots of definitions there because I think they're helpful. But also I think the only help that they give people is essentially to say, okay, that's a definition, but what it means to us as an organization is this. And, you know, I actually am a big fan of, you know, this sort of new move towards community everywhere as well, because I do think community does exist everywhere and it's not necessarily owned by an organization. And, you know, I've certainly worked in the past with you know, organizations to map out where their communities lie. They could be called networks in some instances as well. But, you know, it's helpful to have definitions, but I don't think it should stop us doing the work and, you know, getting out there, testing and learning, understanding where people do convene and collect and, you know, what is helpful to them? Where is that sort of, you know, mutuality of value and how can it help the organization to achieve its mission, you know, whatever that might be?
So moving on to point two, I think you've touched on it slightly already. It's around reporting lines, but let's dig into what your kind of takeaway here is.
Yeah, I think, so it's interesting and this will very much depend on the data. So again, one reflection from yesterday, you know, sitting with the community professionals and again, talking about professionalism of the industry and the sector. I think if you're in the US and if you are a community professional, the reality is we're talking about the US. There are many, many more large organizations, huge tech brands, you know, organizations that can sustain a community department, community teams, all of those different things. So obviously it makes sense that there will be, you know, a separate team and a separate department. Actually, you know, in here, and it will be interesting to see how this is kind of benchmarked over time and also whether there is a kind of a demographic split or a countrywide split around this. But certainly what I'm seeing when I'm talking to brands and organizations here in the UK is that, you know, community doesn't have its own you know, kind of department and team. It works across the organization as it should. but actually generally it will report into the marketing team, because that's where the budgets come from. And actually that leads on to another point within the with the report as well. But you know, again, those community professionals, you know, who have their own teams and departments, I think that's fabulous. I'm not advocating for everything to fold under marketing, but I think, again, it's just a reality check. You know, marketers tend to have the biggest budgets in an organization or a department, unless you're, you know, obviously head of product or, you know, something else that will kind of draw a lot of your kind of funds. But it makes sense that there is an element of alignment, even if it's not reporting into marketing, because, you know, we should definitely be sharing metrics and kind of a vision for what success looks like in the organization.
Fab. No, I really appreciate that, Michelle. That's really good. No, I agree. And it would be interesting. I think that would be something that would be great to do next time, is actually do the split between maybe the UK versus elsewhere and whatnot, because I think that would give a good understanding. Also, I think, you know, if we're talking about communities which are paid and of a certain size, they're more likely to have maybe their own department versus so on and so on. So again, it'd be interesting to see some of the breakdowns of that data.
That's really good. True. I mean, you know, the reality is, if you've got a talent community, then, you know, that's likely to come under HR, and you're likely to work with your CHRO, yes, or, you know, kind of head of people. So, you know, there's the devil is in the detail, I think, and actually it would be quite nice to explore that. But you know, I think the community round table have been kind of tracking this for some time, and there is definitely a move to the community falling under marketing, which again is, you know, one of the reasons why I want to again define what marketing is, so community professionals don't get the fear about it, and also to challenge senior marketers to really deeply understand that communities are ecosystems. We're talking about people and not platforms. And so therefore, you know, you have to have an element of a real understanding of people, dynamics, reputation, reputational antenna, you know, actually bringing people within your business. And as I say, good marketers understand that. They really do.
Nice. Fab.
I think laboring points, but you know, ultimately, if I don't keep saying it, then, you know, I think it's just such a critical thing.
That's good. No, it's really good. Let's move on to your third thought from the report, Michelle.
Yeah, okay. So this is about the C-suite, and it's on page 100. To what extent are the C-suite involved in your community? And what's really lovely is the level of involvement, and also, you know, help with planning, investing in terms of the business case as well, and also promoting the community. So they participate in the community 52.3%. 41.5% of respondents said that they help with the planning, 41.5% said they help promote the community, and 36.9% said, you know, there was a business case investment from the C-suite as well. So I think that's absolutely fantastic, because, you know, as I've said before, you know, they will get involved with things like brand and brand development. They will get involved with things like, you know, product and product diversification, all of those things that are actually very, very strategic within an organization. So I think what this highlights is that, you know, maybe 5 years ago, community really wasn't on the table as far as, you know, kind of board meetings or C-suite meetings or leadership meetings. And hopefully this is, you know, highlighting that actually there is this greater understanding of community, that it is starting to achieve results that get leaders, you know, involved and invested in this. And what I would say is that at Guild, I did quite a lot of interviewing of CEOs and founders that I found inspiring, and that we found inspiring as a team as well. And one of the kind of red threads there was that each of those business leaders, so Shamil Thakrar, the founder of Dishoom, Sasha Celestial One, co-founder of Olio, you know, the food sharing app, all of these guys talked about how, you know, they define their business as multiple communities. So their community of their workforce, their employees, their colleagues, all the way through to investors, and then through to kind of fans and followers and you know, customers as well. So a lot of these very inspiring leaders actually are thinking about their organizations as communities. I mean, Sophie Devonshire, the CEO of the Marketing Society, talks about the society as a community. So, you know, again, we've talked about having a definition here. I don't think it really matters to these, you know, inspiring leaders and also leaders who are, they have high growth businesses, because what they do is they say, okay, you know, this is the mission statement. You know, we have lots of communities internally within our business and all externally outside of our business, our partners, our partnership ecosystem, et cetera. Let's just all align together to achieve this mission and this goal as well. So I think this is really, really encouraging. And again, you know, if you repeat this exercise next year, it would be really good to see how we drill into that data a little bit more and whether there are industries and sectors that actually are a little bit more advanced than others. I would say probably my guess is technology and SaaS. I think those organizations that are, you know, scale up businesses that have been, you know, created and that are more aligned to purpose and purpose driven, not just profitability. So the likes of Viva Barefoot and, as I say, Dishoom, Olio, et cetera, I think those guys are much more mature in their thinking from a leadership perspective around what community actually is and what it delivers for the organization.
Yeah, for sure. And I think when I'm chatting with folk who are looking to either start communities or kind of build out what they have, it always feels like you've got more traction and more longevity when the people who are ultimately funding the platform and making budget decisions, or funding the community, not platform, and making the budgetary decisions, are the ones who are involved in driving things forward. Because it is, as we've alluded to, it is a longer game. You know, it's not the sort of thing you just pop live and you're going to see incredible results straight away. It is a longer play. So it's the sort of thing that does need, you know, 5-10 year investment. It's not a, well, let's give it 6 months and see how it goes and we'll can it if it doesn't work, because, you know, you need that budget planning ahead. One of the companies I've dug into recently a lot, just because of personal interest, because I'm a customer and I'm a shareholder, I've been involved a long time, is Monzo. And originally they were called Mondo. And a big part of how they started was their community. And they then kind of transferred that online into their forums. And their forums are incredibly active spaces, where whether you're new to the financial world or whether you are a shareholder of Monzo, you can get stuck in the conversations. And some of their most innovative features have come through as community suggestions. And they wrote a whole blog post, I think it was back in 2018, about how they see community as their driving force of why they stand out as a bank, because it's their community which are driving things forward, not just shareholders in tall buildings, which I really loved.
There are so many examples of this. So Greg Jackson, the founder of Octopus Energy, again, he was one of the people that I interviewed as well. And, you know, even though he doesn't define community as a, you know, a platform, you know, that's run on Guild or Mighty Networks or whatever else, actually he does talk about community and kind of community-driven ideas and insight. And actually this is no different to, you know, the olden days when CEOs and founders and, you know, good business leaders would walk the floors or employ mystery shoppers or all of these things to get just deep level insights and a reality of, you know, what's going on out there and, you know, kind of not being insular, just really, you know, kind of feeling what's going on out there. And, you know, again, I've worked with governmental departments and, you know, nonprofits, et cetera. You know, the best leaders are the ones that are, will ask the questions, you know, what do people think? You know, how are we adapting? And, you know, what value can we give? You never stand still when you're in business. And if you're not adaptive, and if you don't have that adaptive, you know, mindset as a leader, then you're just going to get it wrong. And again, going back to marketing, that's what marketers do. Good marketers will bring that into the business. Good leaders are very, very marketing focused, because they do want to kind of accept things warts and all. And what Greg Jackson says is that, you know, he's really hungry for that information, whether that's social listening or whether that's actually just, you know, listening to people who are coming in and, you know, talking about the business. The train line, you know, they're another example of a, you know, a business that actually really does genuinely listen to its customers. It doesn't look at clickstream data and, you know, data in the app, et cetera. It actually says, what can we do better? And, you know, what would you like from us? So, you know, it's, community is a continuum of this, I think.
Fab, let's go on to your kind of fourth and final point then, Michelle.
Okay, so the fourth and final point is page 46. And also 47, 60% of communities have a budget. Way! I'll be honest with you, I don't think anything that is meaningful without having some budget behind it. So 60% is encouraging, but what I would say is, wow, 40% of communities, according to our respondents, don't have any budget behind them. And, you know, I think, how are they doing this? You know, are they running, you know, on goodwill and kind of fumes, basically? And, you know, what I can see amongst a lot of community professionals is a lot of burnout, you know, actually doing something without any budget, doing stuff and creating something from nothing. You know, again, this is about talking like a boss and making the business case for what your community can do and bring to your organization. So this is where the metrics piece, and I'm sure that other people have talked about, you know, measurements and metrics. And I know I did in the panel, you know, when we launched the report, that it's so important to measure the right things, you know, obviously for the health of your community, but actually what does it do and what does it deliver? And the more that you can do that, the more that you can make a case for investment within your community. So for me, the 60% is encouraging. The 40% makes me think, you know what, I just don't think what you've done is actually kind of couch your community in the language of business, because it does require investment. And actually, you know, from a personal perspective, if you're a community manager managing a community, you know, I don't think community managers are very good at talking about all of the things that they do. So data analysis, marketing, you know, kind of all community ops, delivering insight to the business, generating leads, you know, kind of soft power within the organization. There are so many things that you bring to a business that is of value, and investors and also the C-suite will look at that if you can, you know, kind of mirror that back in their language as well. So if anybody's looking for help or support or mentoring on this, then, you know, I'm very, very happy to have that conversation and to support you as well, because I think, you know, I really do value community, and you'll see on my website that I believe that community is the future of business. So, you know, for those 40%, that for me is kind of your wake-up call. Please, 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 if you've got no investment, you've got to ask for investment. And it's budgeting time at the moment, so most organizations are going through that kind of budgeting cycle. Now is your opportunity to make the request for some budget. So start to think about what it is that you need, but more importantly, write a strategy and then a plan and an actionable set of deliverables. Present it back. And you talked about senior stakeholders in the organization, Pete. Present it back to those senior stakeholders and ask for some cash.
I also feel like cost also shows value and worth. We know that if we run a free event, we'll probably have half the amount of people turn up. If we run a ticketed event where they've paid, say, £10 for a ticket, we'll have 70% of people turn up. If the ticket costs more than £50, nearly every person will turn up because of the perceived value of the thing they're going to, right? And I feel like it's the same for folk we're working with. If the leadership are really behind it and are funding it properly, they're showing a higher level of value and worth on that thing from a monetary point of view, but also a time and resource and energy and brain space point of view as well. If they're willing to pick their cash behind it, they're probably willing to think about it and make space in their diary to talk to you about it and plan strategy around it and those kind of things. It's they often line up, right?
Yeah, absolutely that. And I think that's a really good way of, you know, articulating that. And, you know, just the event and free analogy, you know, free reports analogy, all of those things, you know, this is very, very valuable. But, you know, I can see why you guys have done it as well. It really helps the industry. It helps people to understand and also to kind of benchmark as well. So, you know, yeah, I think that's a brilliant point.
Well, thank you, Michelle, so much for your time. I really appreciate it. If people have questions or want to chat to you further, where's the best place on the internet for them to find you and reach out?
That big old internet that wasn't called the internet. Well, you don't use, you know, Lycos or anything anymore. Just use that Google and try and find me. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. You can connect with me on Guild. My website, by the time this goes out, we'll be live. It's www.michellegoodall.co.uk. I'm always happy to have a call, a discussion, a consultation as well. So there for anybody who needs help and support. I try and attend as many industry events as I can, not just community events, but also marketing events as well. So always happy to speak to people.
Thank you, Michelle. Until next time, have a good day.